Local news, the Red Oak Police Department reports the arrest of two men early Saturday morning. At 1:21 a.m., officers arrested 24-year-old Nathan Allen Aldrich of Red Oak and 30-year-old Jesse Ray Nelson of Red Oak for disorderly conduct. Both men were taken into custody in the 300 block of East Joy Street. They were moved to the Montgomery County Jail and held on $300 cash bond each. The Iowa Utilities Board has approved a wind turbine operation it says will be the nation's largest wind energy project. Des Moines-based MidAmerican Energy is behind the planned $3.6 billion wind turbine operation that will generate up to 2,000 megawatts of electricity. The Utilities Board says that's enough to power 520,000 homes and that the project will see 85% of Iowa's electricity needs met through wind energy by 2020. Bill Fairman, the utility CEO and president, announced the project in April. MidAmerican Energy said Friday in a news release that the location of the 1,000 turbines for the project is still being determined. The project is expected to be completed by the end of 2019. An observant Pottawatomie County Sheriff's deputy on Thursday arrested a man he knew to have been driving without a valid license. Deputy Brandon Ramsey saw a pickup driven by 50-year-old Kenneth Peavy Jr. of Council Bluffs. He pulled the vehicle over at around 10:20 p.m. and determined the man was still barred from driving. When asked if he had any weapons on him or in the vehicle, Peavy stated that he did have brass knuckles. Upon further investigation, though, Peavy was arrested for carrying weapons, including a concealed gun. He was also cited for driving while suspended. A traffic stop on Wednesday evening in Pottawatomie County resulted in the arrest of an Avoca man. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office says 23-year-old Brandon Bradley Pospisil was taken into custody at around 9 p.m. for probation violation. After the vehicle he was a passenger in was pulled over for having an improper rear license plate light. Records check on Pospisil indicated he had an active warrant for probation violation. He was placed under arrest and brought to the Pottawatomie County Jail. Police in Creston on Thursday morning arrested 30-year-old James Jack Clark of Pleasant Hill for failure to comply with the state's sex offender registry, first offense. Clark was taken to the Union County Jail and later released on $2,000 bond. Also arrested Thursday morning in Creston was 42-year-old James Raymond McPhail of Creston. He was taken into custody at the Adult Probation Office in Creston on a Page County warrant for possession of methamphetamine and of a firearm by a domestic assaulter. McPhail was transported to the Page County Jail. Also in other news, some common August threats are showing up in Iowa soybean fields. That's according to agronomist Randy Cool with Syngenta in Adel, who says spraying for insects is coming to an end for most growers. Usually R5.5 to R6 development stage is about the end of any application treatments for insects. We've had some spraying for soybean aphids, and we're starting to hear about the second generation of bean leaf beetles, Cool said. Cool's territory include parts of western Iowa where excessive rainfall has disease pressure mounting. I would say we're starting to see pockets of SDS in the western half of Iowa, but it's not as prevalent on the eastern side of the state. And Cool says the variety selection and seed treatments are ways to manage sudden death syndrome and other diseases moving forward. And late emerging weeds like water hemp are causing problems again. That's a little bit more of an issue this year since beans were a little slower to canopy, he said. We've got good bean height right now, but it's been a challenge to take care of some of those weeds earlier. Cool recommends cleaning harvest equipment before switching fields to limit the spread of weed seeds. The most recent report from the USDA placed 82% of Iowa's soybean crop in good or excellent condition. The Iowa agency overseeing the state's transition to a privately managed Medicaid program says it recorded over 225 grievances in the first 3 months of the new system. The Iowa Department of Human Services says three insurance companies that now run the program received the notices of dissatisfaction in April, May, and June from Medicaid patients. The department says the grievances were resolved within 30 calendar days. The department provided the information Friday as part of a roughly 60-page quarterly report, which was required by the legislature. Some lawmakers are expected to review the report Monday. DHS estimates in the report that the switch to the privatized system saved the state more than $22 million in the program's first 3 months. The Page County Sheriff's Office says no injuries were reported following an accident on Friday morning on the south side of Shenandoah. Deputies were notified of the crash at around 9:42 a.m. The accident happened at the intersection of A Avenue and Highway 2. An investigation showed that 86-year-old Claude Randall Apperson of Shenandoah was driving a 2004 Buick LeSabre. 21-year-old Caleb William Chupp of Cumberland was driving a 2009 Dodge 3500 pickup with a 1998 Take 3 trailer hauling H&H trailers for sale that are all owned by H&H Trailer of Clarinda. Chupp was westbound on Highway 2 east of A Avenue. Apperson had stopped at the stop sign at A and Highway 2 and had started southbound across the highway. He didn't see Chupp's approaching pickup. Chupp saw the car enter the intersection and swerve to the south, but his truck struck the front driver's side fender of the Apperson vehicle. Chupp continued west and south into the south ditch where the pickup trailer jackknifed, causing totaling damage to the pickup. The action also caused damage to the Take 3 trailer and one of the cargo trailers that was being hauled. Apperson spun west prior to coming to rest in the westbound lane of traffic. His car was considered a total loss as well. The total dollar amount of damage was estimated at $17,000. Both drivers refused medical treatment. The Page County Sheriff's Office was assisted at the scene by the Shenandoah Fire Department, Shenandoah Ambulance Service, and the Shenandoah Police Department. Officials with the Department of Transportation said Friday they will close the westbound Interstate 80 to southbound I-29 ramp at Exit 4 beginning at 7 p.m. Tuesday, August 30th, weather permitting, for interstate road construction work. The ramp will reopen at approximately 6 a.m. Friday, September 2nd. Travelers should follow the posted detour to access I-29 southbound, according to the Iowa DOT's District 4 office. Prior to the westbound I-80 closure, construction crews will move a crane at midnight on Tuesday, August 30th. Eastbound I-80 between south and northbound I-29 splits will be closed. A detour will also be in operation for that closure. The Iowa DOT expects to reopen the eastbound lanes by 2 a.m. And the Cass County Conservation Board and Friends of Lake Anita said that Friday, due to unforeseen circumstances, the Dutch Oven Cooking Campground program has been canceled for today. The free public program was to be held at the primitive campground at Lake Anita State Park here today at 11 a.m. The Cass County Conservation Board thanks you for your understanding. Now taking a look here this morning at your funeral announcements. Ronald D. Peterson, age 87, of Exira, died Monday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Ronald Peterson will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Exira Christian Church. Kessler Funeral Home Exira has arrangements. Dennis L. Schaff, age 69, of Lincoln, Nebraska, formerly of Atlantic, died Tuesday. A celebration of life service for Dennis Schaff will be held today at 1 p.m. at the Roper & Sons Chapel in Lincoln, Nebraska. Stanley O. Hoy, age 89, of Electra, Texas, formerly of Griswold, died August 6th in Electra, Texas. Celebration of life services for Stanley Hoy will be held today at 3 p.m. in the Evangelical Free Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. James B. Polson, age 59, of Atlantic, died August 19th. Memorial services for James B. Polson will be held today at 3 p.m. at the Hoy-Kilnowski Funeral Home in Council Bluffs. C. Norris Buckingham, age 90, of Carson, has died. Funeral services for C. Norris Buckingham will be held Monday at 10 a.m. at the Wheeler Grove United Church of Christ in rural Carson. The Lus Hills Funeral and Cremation Center in Carson has arrangements. Carol J. Miller, age 86, of Exira, died Wednesday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Carol Miller will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Mervyn Earl Larimore, age 87, of Oakland, died Thursday at home. A visitation with the family of Mervyn Larimore will be held on Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Reconvieth Funeral Home in Oakland. A private funeral service will be held at a later date. Reconvieth Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Roger Dunn, age 72, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Atlantic Specialty Care. A celebration of life visitation for Roger Dunn will be held with family greeting friends on Sunday, September 4th, from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Beverly Pote, age 83, of Bridgewater, died Friday at the Greater Regional Hospice Home in Creston. Funeral services for Beverly Pote are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Roger Whitson, age 70, of Harlan, has died. Services for Roger Whitson are currently pending at the Polly Jones Funeral Home. And Creed Wilson, age 2, of Atlantic, the son of Chelsea and Kyle Wilson, died at home on Friday. Funeral services for Creed Wilson are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. That's a look at the latest news and funeral announcements this morning on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.